It's a Man Crush Monday. Join Professor Buzzkill as he crushes on men from history who deserve more fame and glory.
Okay, yes, indeed, it is Professor Buzzkill. Here we are in the Buzzkill bunker, safe from all the incoming fire from the haters and the historical revisionists and the people who don't know what they're talking about history. And we're really happy because we do have someone who knows what he's talking about history. And that, of course, is Professor Nash from Penn State University. How are you, Professor?
I'm doing great. I barely made it here alive.
But did you really? Yeah. Well, it's comforting here in the bunker. It's underground. It's protected by all sorts of things. But again, we're so happy to have you back because people get tired of listening to me and they want to hear you. Keep asking, when are we going to have another Nash cast? And this is one of them. And not only is it a Nash cast, it's a Man Crush Monday Nash cast. This is someone you think deserves a lot more attention than he's gotten. Who is he?
Absolutely. This is Umrao Singh Yadav.
That's
his full name, although I think he's usually referred to as just Umrao Singh. That's the shorthand, and I'll use that term.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. He was one of 31 British Indian Army soldiers awarded the Victoria Cross during World War II.
And the
Victoria Cross, you might know more about this than I do, but the Victoria Cross is essentially the British Empire's main or highest medal for valor.
Medal of Honor, yeah.
Essentially the Medal of Honor. They're pretty rare. They're pretty hard to get. And so 31 British Indian Army soldiers received this during World War II. Umrao Singh was one of them, and he was also the only non-commissioned officer in either the Royal Artillery or the Royal Indian Artillery to receive the Victoria Cross in World War II.
Okay.
And that shouldn't be surprising. Artillery folks usually are a little bit behind the line.
Yeah, so the sort of valor doesn't seem
to... Sure, they have fewer opportunities to do the sort of thing that might earn you a Victoria Cross.
And we should tell the Buzzkillers, by the way, that there are hundreds of thousands of soldiers in the British Indian Army.
Absolutely.
This is not a small force.
No, in fact, in case I forget to mention it...
Not just a sideline.
It is simply the largest volunteer army ever in human history.
Wow.
2.5 million folks served in the British Indian Army. So he was Punjabi. He was born in 1920 in a small village in Haryana, which is in north central India. He joined the Indian Army, I believe, in late 1939 and was promoted to sergeant in the Royal Indian Artillery in 1942.
Right. Okay. So the war's already started.
Yeah. He serves almost the entire war in uniform.
Yeah. Okay. So what did he do not only to deserve the Victoria Cross, but to deserve becoming a Man Crush Monday subject?
What did he do? Well, on the night of the 15th to 16th December 1944 in Burma, he commanded a field gun detachment close to the front. Mm-hmm. And after a 90-minute bombardment, the Japanese attacked his position with at least two infantry companies.
Yikes.
So it's not just him, obviously. This is this whole battery. But still, two infantry companies, that's probably at least around 200.
Okay, let's remind people that Burma is in the southeast.
That's right. This is in the Asian theater. This is where the British Commonwealth forces are fighting against the Japanese, trying to liberate Burma from the Japanese, which the Japanese had taken in 1942. Okay. So his position comes under a very strong Japanese attack. He uses his Bren gun, which is a light machine gun, and directs the defense of the position.
Yep.
He sustains two shrapnel wounds, but the first attack is successfully repulsed.
Okay.
The second attack is also, second Japanese attack is also repulsed, but kills all but Singh and two other gunners. So there are only three guys left at their position now. And at the start of the third attack, these three quickly start to run out of ammunition.
Huh.
So apparently Singh picked up what was called a gun bearer.
What is a gun bearer?
It's a piece of equipment It's a
piece
of equipment in the artillery business, which apparently is just a little bit like a crowbar.
The artillery business.
That's the official term.
Yeah.
Yes.
We have our own special Buzzkill slang.
He was a leading entrepreneur in the artillery business. So he picked up this gun bearer and started swinging it, and he was seen by witnesses to strike down at least three Japanese infantrymen with it.
Okay, so he's not shooting them.
He's out of ammunition.
With this crowbar
so
thing.
He is. Yes, he's engaging. He's some manual labor, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
6 hours later, an Allied counterattack retook the position. Singh was found unconscious with a massive head wound, but alive.
Yeah,
his gun bearer still in his hand.
Again, this is the
big hunk of metal. Around the position, 10 Japanese soldiers, 10 dead Japanese soldiers were found.
Wow. This sounds so, like a Sergeant York situation.
Kinda. Yeah, we don't know how many or whether it was all 10 of those who were his responsibility, but mm-hmm. still, he was mm-hmm. found alive, surrounded by 10 Japanese soldiers. You can draw your own conclusions. He was awarded the Victoria Cross in 1945, served in the post-war, the independent Indian Army from 1947 to 1965. And he died in 2005 on his 85th birthday.
Oh, wow. Lived to 85. Okay. Okay. So, but why again, Buzzkillers, we have been doing a number of World War II themed shows. And one of the things we try to do is to say, you know, there's a special reason why we highlight so many of these men and women fighters on the Allied sides in World War II is because the Japanese militarism and German militarism was so vicious.
Right.
That this, the people who to defend against them, try to attack against them, really do deserve a right. lot more credit.
Well, and also, I mean, and I think is emblematic of something larger. Which, and you can you can say this a lot about a lot of Medal of Honor winners too. Which is, each Victoria Cross winner, you could say, deserves their own recognition, their own show.
Sure.
I easily could have picked one of the other 31, but I think he's a good choice. He's emblematic of the often overlooked contribution of these 2.5 million. Troops in the British Indian Army.
2.5 million
who contributed massively to the Allied victory. 87,000 of them died mm-hmm. on many fronts, not just mm-hmm. in Burma, but also mm-hmm. in East Africa, in North Africa, in Italy, in the Middle East. They served all over the place with distinction.
Even though they served with distinction, they weren't necessarily treated with distinction.
No, not after the war, not in India. Because remember, India gets its independence in 1947.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And so there, these members of the British Indian Army, they are looked down upon. And they, first of all, they were not treated equally in the British Imperial Army either.
Right.
Churchill infamously did not have very high regard for them. They were paid less while they were in the army. And then afterwards, once India gets its independence, they are ignored and they are also denied pensions by the independent Indian government.
Now, does this mean the new Indian government, the newly independent Indian government, is looking at these soldiers who had just fought to protect India as sort of having been British stooges?
Pretty much. Wow. Right. They fought to preserve the British Empire.
Wow.
Which most of them would see as completely unfair. Keep in mind also that during World War II, there was this other thing called the Indian National Army, which was formed by the Japanese. From Indian troops who had been captured by the Japanese in the fall, after the fall of Malaya and Singapore in 1942. The Japanese basically said, look, we're going to put together an army. You can fight for your independence. Who's in?
Okay, so this makes it even more complicated.
Absolutely. It's super complicated. So tens of thousands of these folks did join the Indian National Army, and they fought alongside the Japanese in Burma. And there were some cases where the Indian fought Indian.
Yeah.
In Burma.
Wow.
So it's sort of like in Vichy France, right? You had Frenchmen fighting against Frenchmen in the Middle East. And of course, after independence, or maybe not of course, but the Indian National Army, those folks who had fought alongside the Japanese, they were lionized. They were given pensions. They were considered the great
Because of course they're partly helping overthrow the British, right?
But as you said a minute ago, it is complicated. The British Indian Army troops took an oath to the king, that's true, and many of them sort of clung to that oath.
Yeah.
But they were also fighting for ultimate independence. The British made certain guarantees or certain promises about
that's
independence.
Right.
And so they figure, look, I'm fighting for the British Empire, but it's not like I'm not a stooge. I'm fighting for the future of India and Indian independence.
And then the British famously dragged their feet.
Of course. And it was also complicated. But keep in mind also the INA, they're not just fighting for Indian independence. They're fighting alongside the Japanese.
Right.
So run the thought experiment. Let's say Japan wins World War II or the Japanese conquer India. Are they really going to give India its independence?
Right. Look at
the way the Japanese behaved every place else. They didn't give people their independence.
No.
So it is at minimum complicated. Yeah. And keep in mind, there were 62 British Indian Army soldiers for every one Indian National Army soldier. 62 to one.
Okay.
Right? And so, I mean, a cynic would say at least they're going to save a lot of money on pensions
after World War II.
But I would say my bottom line would be this. Whatever you think about their decision to fight for the British Empire, you cannot deny their contribution to the cause of crushing the Axis.
Right. Which, again, we keep coming back to has this sort of moral...
Yes.
Righteousness and moral necessity to it.
Right.
It isn't just, World War II is so awful, it isn't like just any other war.
Right.
You know, it has these two really genuinely evil things.
And as we've often tried to do in the shows, you're trying to do things. On the one hand, capture the complexity, mm-hmm. including the moral complexity. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, never lose sight of the bottom line, which is crushing the Axis was absolutely necessary. And people like Umrao Singh were absolutely essential to that process.
Well, there you have it, Buzzkillers. Umrao Singh, who genuinely deserves to have his own Man Crush Monday. Talk to you next week.